God trusts that the church will take care of its members while we seek out the lost, the unloved, and the seekers, bringing them home, knowing that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and who have never strayed away. And I am sure the religious leaders are starting to get real uncomfortable, knowing that Jesus is pointing the finger for their lack of compassion straight at them. And then he doesn't stop there, because Jesus just doesn't go halfway. He tells the story of a widow who has 10 coins and she loses one. Again, contextual stuff is really important. Historically, some religious leaders were notorious for taking advantage of widows, and this practice was condemned by Jesus. And he doesn't hesitate to criticize them for their pride, their arrogance, their self-prominence, and greed. And in highlighting their greed, Jesus says in verse 40 in Mark, they devour widows' houses. According to the law of Moses, the spiritual leaders were supposed to be taking care of the widows and orphans in the community and providing for their needs. And you can find that in Deuteronomy 26:12. But often they did the opposite. They were accused sometimes of taking away the widows what little they had, leaving them destitute, without even a home to live in. So it is not surprising that Jesus uses a widow to make his point. And homes in ancient Palestine were probably poorly lit, and they had a dirt or a stone floor, so I can't even find coins, and I have hardwood floors. Would be difficult. But she searches carefully until she finds the 10 coins, and then, like the shepherd, calls her neighbors, rejoicing that what has been lost has been found. For in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents. And like these two parables, the parable of the lost son demonstrates God's love for the lost and the joy God experiences when we return. Now, usually this is one gospel reading, but if you'll bear with me today, because there were three things that were lost. The father represents God, the younger son represents the tax collectors and the sinners to whom Jesus ministered, and the older brother represents the religious leaders. Okay, can we go with that one? Okay. The younger son squanders the gifts, his inheritance, and when he finally comes to his senses, he desires to return home. What did somebody say to me the other day? If you don't recognize you're lost, how can you be found? That was a nice thing to say. I've been thinking about that in the context of the readings, and in particular, the lost son. A couple of things the younger son acknowledges that he is lost and made up his mind to go home to my father and say, I have screwed up against heaven and earth, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm a mess. The father has apparently been watching the road, longing for his return. And when he sees his boy approaching, he picks up his robe, would be like me, and takes off. This probably would have been considered undignified, but he threw caution to the wind and, filled with unbridled joy, ran to meet him. And the son gives him his prepared speech, but the father didn't give a darn. In fact, he didn't even give him time to finish. But he called for the finest clothes, a ring, and the best meat money could buy. His son was welcomed like a visiting dignitary. God is delighted over the moon and back again when you and I come home to him. I don't know about you, but for me, this turning back is not a one-off. It's an everyday commitment. When I make time in the day to spend time with the Lord, there's so much rejoicing in heaven. Can you believe that? And God is saying, I'm so excited. My girl's back with me today. I want us to remember that when you think your prayer life is dry and barren. God's going, they came back. They're going to be here any minute now. Can't you? It's shaking. There's so much rejoicing in heaven, and God is saying, I'm so excited my girl wants to be with me again today. Jesus continues with the story and introduces the eldest, who is so angry and resentful that his father would forgive all the rotten things the younger son had done. I can hear the voice in his head now. I have been faithful. I have never acted up. I work every single day. I never spoke back. Never complained about the chores. And God is, here is Dad making a fuss over my brother who's been such a disaster. Has anyone ever experienced that? The elder son, lurking in every human heart, watching as the father embraces the returning child. The elder son, who refuses and is unable to look or see joy in the touch of love. We have all done the right things, but inside, where the rubber hits the road, we have wandered away from the Father's love. Goodness becomes an idol. And following the rules becomes a substitute for faithfulness and obedience. Is anybody uncomfortable yet? Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, writes, "The parable might well be called the parable of the lost sons. For not only did the younger son who left home to look for freedom and happiness in a distant country get lost, but the one who stayed also became a lost man. And he did his duty. He worked hard every day and fulfilled his obligations, but became increasingly unhappy and unfree." So much judgment, condemnation, and prejudice among the saints. So much frozen anger as we scramble to avoid sin, yet refuse and find it difficult to accept the Father's touch. And we are deaf to our own belovedness. We can so easily be like a Pharisee who thanks God that he's not like those tax collectors and sinners. I am so glad I'm not like that person. But joy and resentment cannot coexist. And when our elder son gets the upper hand, then we stand outside the circle of love, unable to move out of the darkness, out of the shadows. And we find it difficult to move past our self-indignation and come to the party. And therein lies the human conflict. Returning home after a wild escapade seems so much easier than returning home from the cold anger that has rooted in our care. The moment I want to react in love out of a grateful spirit, but instead I get caught up in anger and resentment. And I can stand on the sidelines watching as a repentant brother or sister accepts love, is reconciled and back home, but I stubbornly refuse the blessing. I would rather stand in rightness than accept and receive unconditional love. For we are all sons and daughters of a compassionate God, and we are called to step into the Father's place and be as compassionate as your Father is compassionate. God's compassion, as described by Jesus, is not simply to show me how willing God is to forgive my sins and offer new life and happiness. But we are invited to become like God and to show the same compassion that he's showing us. Coming home means that you and I make the Father's life out of our own, and we are transformed into his own image. For when we truly know how deeply we are loved, it is inconceivable that we would live in any way that does not honor and give praise to a loving God, always ready to give a surprise party in our honor. Because let me tell you, when I get to heaven, there's going to be a party up there. Finally, you're here, God says. I've been waiting a long time. In the words of Pope Francis, God waits for us. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't lose heart. Because each one of us is the child embraced again. We are the coin found again. And the sheep cry. caressed and put back on his shoulders. So take time this week to stretch out. Remember that whole thing about falling into grace? Just stand in the middle of your living room, put your arms out and say, I'm falling into grace. Lord, I'm falling into your love. Just put your arms out. Actually, let's put our arms out now. Come on, smack the person beside you. There you go. So take time this week to stretch out your tired arms and let our loving Lord rest a blessing on the shoulders of every homecoming child. And take time to say, thank you, Lord, for once I was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, amazing grace. Come on. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, amen. Let's pray. Lord, in these days of mercy, make us quiet and prayerful. In these days of challenge, make us strong in you. In these days of emptiness, take possession of us. And in these days of waiting, open our hearts to be found again and again and again. Amen.